All right. Hello, everyone. Boy, I feel like I was in this seat just yesterday doing another podcast. And today is Sheepdog Nation, podcast number 7. So we have decided on today's podcast that it was probably time for us to do just a chat with the founder. Especially based on some of the changes that we are experiencing as an organization. Really all good things. I mean, we as an organization have grown. This gets into numbers, right, and data that sometimes you don't have a chance to hear or learn about. But we as an organization, founded in 2010, again, as a founder, as anyone that has started a business or something knows, that you got to put a lot of your own time and money into starting something. So for the first few years, it was a lot of self-funding, funding by me, funding by the men and women that were joining the organization. We would just kind of pool our money together to go do events, et cetera. But then we got to a point where we realized that in order to do more good, we had to put an effort into raising money, collecting donations. And we as an organization have grown by 30% year after year, except for the first COVID year, which of course was challenging for everyone. And I think we had a loss that year of about 20% in what we would consider annual donations and growth. But then the next year it picked right back up and we were again in that average growth of about 30%+. I share all of that just because today we've decided to give all of you an opportunity to see behind the curtain, so to speak, a little bit. And for me to share with you some of my thoughts regarding where we are today as an organization and the future for us as an organization. And, you know, it's hard to be transparent sometimes with that because, one, you don't want to scare people. We do. I mean, fairly or unfairly, you think you're going to worry your members, your donors, your sponsors, the people that love and support you. And it creates a sense of probably anxiety on our end that's not fair. You know, all of you are adults. You get the importance of change and the unfortunate side effects sometimes that come with change. So today, I'd like to start by probably hitting some of the high points. And if you don't know, Jeff Watts, our producer, is in the room with us as always. And I'm going to ask him to jump in from time to time and make sure that he asks questions that give me the ability to clarify or elaborate on certain things that I'll be sharing with you today. So let me start first with the transition we're making when it comes to restructuring our teams and chapters. Closing the teams and chapters was not easy. And to say that it was hard to make that decision would be an understatement. Okay, so I don't want anyone out there that has looked at this decision to think that we made it lightly. It was very difficult. But as I've shared with so many people, I go back to that time and I think about when we were starting as an organization, 2010, social media had just started to develop, i.e. Facebook. You know, I think before that was MySpace maybe, but you know, that was a new concept, and a lot of people didn't really know how social media was going to begin to, oh goodness, define interaction with others. And so the older model for us was the fraternal sorority style organizations. And that was to create teams and chapters where people could come together and socialize. So the unfortunate side to it was over time, through social media and so many other cultural changes, it became obvious that the team and chapter model for connecting people was a little bit of an antiquated method. I mean, you don't have to go too far to just look at social organizations like the American Legion, the VFW, Lions Club, Freemasons, you name it, all great causes, great organizations, but they've all been struggling with membership, with getting people to engage, come together, volunteer. Now, of course, you can throw an exception to the rule at me. There's always an exception, a rarity out there, but across the board, the standard has become that that's not what people are gravitating to. Social organizations. So, and, you know, to go back and be transparent, when we started this organization, we did not have a proper training mechanism in place. We did not have the ability to train our members, volunteers, team leaders, chapter commanders, you name it. We just didn't have, it was a new concept, and we had not taken the time yet to build out proper training models to ensure the success of our leaders in the field. And I accept that blame and that fault. For me as the founder and CEO, we could have done better. I wish we had, period. The buck stops with me. And this is an attempt on our part as an organization to correct a wrong. And in correcting that wrong, the painful part is recognizing that our teams and chapters don't serve the purpose that we intended for them to. And we could not see a path forward in keeping them in their existing form. And that's why I say that this was a challenge, because I knew it would hurt people. And I wish we hadn't. For some of you as members, it's been very painful. For those of you that are volunteers and sponsors, but also more importantly, our member leaders out there, our chapter commanders and team leaders, this was it was painful when you had given so much of your time to this endeavor. And I am truly sorry for that. So what is the way forward? Well, we're going to do our best to do it right. And when we talk about, well, what does right look like? That's a great question, because we're still trying to figure that out a little bit. But I want you to know that it's a discussion that it takes place every day. And I think that's where I need to pause for a moment and stress that nothing has changed for our members and volunteers. You are still part of this organization, and we are so proud to have you as part of this organization. But let me put some of this in context with teams and chapters. We have members and volunteers across this great nation of ours, and 20% of our members and volunteers were attached to teams and chapters. So think about that. 20% of our men and women that are part of this organization were assigned to a team or chapter. The other 80% of our members and volunteers and supporters, you name it, were not connected to a team or chapter in any capacity. They were part of, and all of you are, part of what we refer to as the national organization. The unfortunate side for our people that were attached to a team or chapter, 20% of you, you were not receiving the best of what we are as an organization. And unfortunately for the national office, we were spending 80 to 90% of our effort in trying to manage and communicate with 20% of our organization. And that means that 80% plus at times of our national members, volunteers, and supporters were not receiving the guidance and attention that you deserved. So I hope that makes sense from a standpoint of the process, and what we were trying to build out was not as effective as it could be. All right. So I share all of that and just trying to impress upon you the importance of what we're trying to do to ensure that all of our members, volunteers, and supporters feel valued and feel like they're part of an organization that is truly, truly trying to do its best to engage, assist, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. So moving forward, and Jeff, this is really where I want, you know, you to help me clarify as we talk about kind of the road ahead. It may be harder than anything we've ever done before, but at the same time, I think it's going to be the most rewarding thing that we have attempted to do as an organization. And that's to give all of our members, volunteers, and supporters an opportunity to feel like they have a place within this organization, that they have a voice, and that they have an opportunity to wear our logo with pride in going out into the communities that they live and doing great things. Jeff, you were in the Army, and do you remember the Army of One slogan?
Yes.
The Army came out with?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm trying to oversimplify the process here. So Jeff and all of my Army dogs out there, you remember the slogan, you know, you went from be all you can be to be an Army of One. Just so happens I was on recruiting duty for the Marine Corps when that slogan came out, right? And for us as Marines, it's all about the team. It's about the team effort and the team mantra. And this goes back, Jeff, right, to why we started Teams and Chapters. It's feeling like people, we wanted our people to feel like they were part of a team in their local community or wherever. And that was a defining part of how I'd been trained, right, as a Marine. And I know even in the Army, y'all know the importance of team, but that was kind of the question behind why talk about something opposite of what we are, right? In the Army, it's all about teamwork. In the Marine Corps, in the military, our first responder communities. As a firefighter, it's about fighting a fire as a team. Unfortunately, too many of our law enforcement officers out there probably patrol and, you know, work streets by themselves. But ultimately, if you get in a bad situation, you hope that your fellow police officers come to assist you, right? Again, team effort. So I go back to my time on recruiting duty, and I used to laugh at, and I thought, man, I'm going to eat this message up. I'm going to recruit off of it, because young men and women today want to be part of a team, you know, not an army of one. So I fast forward to today, where that's probably the best way, how ironic is this, that it's probably the best way in trying to describe our road ahead, is we want our men and women to feel like they can be. Can be is probably the key statement there. They can be an army of one. They can be an individual that gets up off that couch, goes out into their community, and accomplishes great things by themselves if need be. Now, again, if need be, because at the moment as you're going out there helping people, you shouldn't, and there's the bad part. I don't want people sitting around on a couch waiting on others to inspire them. Maybe what I'm saying to you might inspire you, but you don't need me to come to your house and grab you by the hand to get you to do amazing things with the rest of your life. You can do it on your own. You don't need to be part of a sheepdog team or a sheepdog chapter. Hell, for that matter, you don't need to be part of this organization to do great things. But we hope through this organization that we inspire people, encourage people to do great things with their lives, to continue doing great things. Because if you've worn the uniform or the badge, you have accomplished greatness. But why did it stop for so many of our men and women, our fellow sheepdogs, when they took that uniform off or they took that badge off and they went home and sat down on that dang couch? We want you to appreciate the ability of being that army of one, that sheepdog of one, where you can, you know, and you have the confidence that you can get up and you can go out into the community that you live, but it also can start right at home with your family, that you can be something special. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's not easy, but we learn through post-traumatic growth, right, Jeff, that you can be better than you were yesterday if you are willing to put in the effort. And I mean, that, you know, old saying, I'm pointing at you. Well, there's three fingers pointing right back at me, right? You and three at me. We all can do better. We can all be better than we were yesterday. Recognizing that that is before us is something that's very important. And it's before all of you. I'm challenging all of our members out there, our volunteers and our supporters, but especially our sheepdog nation, our sheepdogs out there. You have the opportunity to be your best by getting up and getting out there and doing whatever you want with your life when it comes to helping the communities that you live in. And I truly hope that you'll take advantage of that. Jeff, I mean, do you feel like that kind of communicates what we're really wanting? The way forward? Now, we haven't created the roadmap, exactly right, but that's the definition of where we want our organization to really go, is an organization that people can anchor themselves to come to for resources, or like-minded individuals that can encourage and inspire them to do that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think part of the conversation we've had in the past with chapter commanders and team leaders, or potential team leaders, as we were looking at maybe grow to these different areas, was that the lift that we asked them to do is to go find sheepdogs to help, but also to build a team. So bring in 3, 4, 5 people.
Yeah,
and in some cases, it's difficult, whether it's the person or the area or the timing or whatever is involved with that. So what we're doing now is we're saying, we want you to go find sheepdogs to help. Don't worry about the admin. Don't worry about the structure.
Exactly.
Don't worry about building a local group there. You'll find like-minded people just going out doing the mission.
Yeah.
You'll find people that are attracted to the mission, because the mission is the primary thing anyways. And so if you're focusing on finding sheepdogs to help, and you let people know, hey, next Tuesday, we're going to go do a 5K, whatever that looks like, or next Saturday, we're going to do a 5K. You'll attract a group, because it's about the mission. It's not about the structure. It's not about the positions or the business cards or all these other things.
Right.
The trappings that, in the past, I've gotten tied up into, because you want to have a structure before you do the mission. Don't do the mission first.
Mm-hmm.
The structure will take care of itself whenever you have like-minded people coming to you. Say, hey, let me jump in there.
Yeah.
With you. So that might be a way of releasing the people from getting, not to worry about the structure or the admin part of it, but just go find sheepdogs.
Yeah, and we did. Just like you said, we got wrapped around it. Now, I always promoted, don't worry about the money or how we're going to pay for it. Just go do the mission, right? And if you do the mission, you do what you say you're going to do, people are going to support you. And that came true. We exist today because of that mindset. I hated asking people for money. I still hate it. But I think because we always did, we focused on the mission, we've been successful. But back to your point of, we got to the point, especially, I go back to 20% of our people were wrapped around organizations that were about structure, i.e. our teams and chapters, and it bogged us down, because we did. We got so focused on that structure that we were missing the point on what those teams and chapters were supposed to be there doing, which was just getting out and doing great stuff. Instead, it was always, why haven't you turned in your weekly report, your monthly report? Where are your numbers? When are you doing this? When are you doing that? We want you just to feel good about doing, right? And not feel like there's all this whatever monotony wrapped up in a team and chapter effort. Because to your point, you're going to become a group. And that goes back to our roots. When we started as an organization, it was just about 4, 5, 6, 10 of us, 15 of us getting together and doing great stuff and fun stuff. We were having fun. And I think that's where we got lost with some of our teams and chapters. It wasn't fun for us to manage them, and they weren't having fun being managed. And I think they got bogged down in just not enjoying being part of a team and chapter.
Part of that, from a chapter commander standpoint, the Central Arkansas chapter, we were self-funding. We had to find the funds to do our mission.
Yeah.
So as a chapter commander, you're counting pennies. You're as a team leader, you're counting pennies. You're writing a check, picking the T-shirts up on Friday, do the event on Saturday, and hopefully you made enough money to clear the check on Monday.
Yeah.
Being that tight in some of those cases.
Right.
And so as a leader, the money is on the front side of your mind all the time.
Yeah.
That's just a concept.
That's not fun.
It's not.
Yeah.
And so with the part of the mission, and it took me several years to figure this out, and I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it, is go do the mission. It's easier to ask for money when you're in the process of doing good work and not when you're thinking about doing good work. If you will, that's what politicians say, right?
Yeah.
If you will donate to me, I'll go do good work. Well, what I'm telling the teams and chapters in this last 2 years, is go do good work. Then you can say, this is what we're doing. You want to jump in? Great. We're already doing it, but we're going to continue doing it. We're going to give you the opportunity to jump in with us. So it's not a matter of, please give us money so we can start doing good work. It is, we're doing good work. We're finding sheepdogs to help. Mm. And whether it's something small or something as it grows, whatever that looks like, do the good work first.
Yeah. I think there's that point. We're eliminating that money stress too. Financial stress is no longer there. We don't want anyone out there in the field to be worried about money. You know, that was part of that team and chapter stress too. Financial stress is some of the most, and for a better word for it, unfun, right? It does. It is just not enjoyable to have to sit around. And I tell you, as a CEO, the thing that keeps me up late at night most nights is I'm stressing about making sure we have the money nowadays, right? And it isn't fun. So we want to transition into, okay, the roadmap ahead, and it has to do with our ambassadors and what we're developing with Sheepdog University. But I want to close on one final thing with explaining how we truly understand why it's so painful with the loss of our teams and chapters for some people, but also for all of you out there to understand the need behind it. And I'm going to use the Marine Corps as an example again with tanks. So we all love tanks, you know, especially boys, and I know a lot of young ladies out there too that probably enjoyed, you know, playing war with their brothers and uncles and, you know, cousins or whatever. But the Marine Corps, some of you may or may not know this, but the Marine Corps a few years ago did away with tanks. The Marine Corps no longer uses tanks within their combat battle strategy. Think about that. That's powerful. But if you stop and think about the decision, now imagine being the commandant of the Marine Corps and you're announcing that we're going to do away with tanks, their Marines. You're no longer going to have you're no longer going to have tanks on the battlefield in support. And the reality is it sounds good, but when you are a Marine Corps that's getting back to amphibious doctrine and training, and, you know, potentially, let's be honest, potentially war with China, and you're out in the Pacific and you're jumping from island to island or just having to move fast in an environment where technology is moving at light speed here, and that impacts the battlefield. The slowest item on that battlefield outside of an infantryman having to walk someplace is tanks. They're heavy, they're cumbersome. They bog you down when it comes to decision making. Maybe your ability to move forward is limited because you're waiting on the tanks to catch up. And then if you got to go from one island to another or one space to another, you know, having to load them up, make sure there's fuel and all the resources to match it, you can imagine how cumbersome that might be. So the Marine Corps said, nope, we want to be light. We want to be fast. We want to be combat effective per what the future is expecting on a combat field, right? And in a combat zone. So tanks are gone. And oh my Lord, I read some of the articles and chat rooms and stuff that came from Marines, and oh, I got it. I initially was like, whoa, wait a second. Why is this decision being made? And but think about Marines that served in tanks, worked on tanks, fought in tanks. Their career was defined by their relationship with tanks in the Marine Corps. Painful. And I can understand a Marine that had served and fought in those and maybe lost friends in a tank. It's hard. And so for our teams and chapters, I get that. For them, those are our tanks, right? Sheepdog had teams and chapters, and the unfortunate, painful side is realizing that those teams and chapters were bogging us down. And I hate that I have to say it that way, but that's the reality. They were slowing our ability as an organization to move into the future with a more aggressive combat mindset of the needs of our fellow sheepdogs. And understanding that, yes, I get it, that in some of the teams and communities that we had teams and chapters in, they were making a difference. This was never about them not being effective at doing things. But on the bigger picture, they were a hindrance to the bigger efforts of this organization. And I mean, the unfortunate side is, unless you're here looking at the data and, you know, having to work to manage the cumberness, just how cumbersome the teams and chapter program was, it's hard for people to really appreciate that, right? And sometimes we do have to go up to 30,000 feet to see over the horizon to really fully understand the challenges we're dealing with and how we need to prepare for the future. We can't always take everyone up to that 30,000-foot level to really grasp it. And I wish it was easier. So the way ahead is Sheepdog University and our ambassadorship program. And you want to talk about potential. And this is the potential for our members out there in the field to understand that all of you have the potential to be part of our ambassadorship program. Some of you, not all of you, can be ambassadors the way we have it mapped out through our Sheepdog University program. But some of you, we're going to ask, and some of you are going to volunteer to be bigger picture ambassadors for us, where you have specific roles in your communities and relationships that we're going to ask you to develop with other organizations, businesses, et cetera, in the communities that you live. You're going to go in and have a bigger role in sharing the message of this organization, talking to people about what a sheepdog is and what Sheepdog Impact Assistance exists for. And for me, it's about post-traumatic growth. It's about ensuring that we give our men and women, our fellow sheepdogs, an opportunity to appreciate their ability to continue living amazing lives. And that includes the ability to continue giving the same way you gave when you wore that uniform or badge. Or if you're still wearing it, another outlet for continuing to give, which is for a lot of us. I mean, I was still in the Marine Corps when we were building this organization. It did not stop me from going, well, I missed out on some disaster missions and stuff, right? But I didn't think, well, I'm a Marine, I can't go out and give to the community I live in more. Examples again, there are disasters taking place in your community every day. Homelessness, addiction, food, what's the word for food? Food depravity, or people are food insecurity. If y'all didn't know, Bridget's with us, everybody. I ought to put the camera on her, but I'm not going to do that to her. But food insecurity, right? There are people that are struggling, and in their lives, that's a disaster. If you can't feed your family, you think that's not a disaster for that family? So as we talk about and we lean into this ambassador program that we are developing, we talk about, well, who and what are you as members and volunteers in our community? Well, you represent us, right? You, by wearing the shirt or the patch on your backpack or whatever it might be, the sticker on your car, you're a representative of this organization. And we're so proud to have you out there, right? You are sharing, one, the fact that this organization exists, and the way you conduct yourself gives you an opportunity to truly brag about who and what you are as an individual. And, you know, more importantly, again, you're representing us at that bigger level in the communities that you live and across the nation. But our ambassador program, which our ambassadors will represent us, but at a higher level, they're going to be called sheepdog ambassadors, ambassadors that go out there and engage in the community in a much bigger way, are going to be tasked with speaking at events and locations and actively representing us in a much bigger picture aspect, right? Where they will volunteer and voluntarily go out and spread the word of this organization, engage with fellow sheepdogs. And this goes back to kind of that bigger picture of who and what we are as an organization. Everyone, we're doing better today than we have ever done. We are a healthier organization, more capable organization today in a way that I never foresaw. I wish I could take credit for having this vision 14 years ago, but I didn't. Today, we have our outdoor adventure program where we are partnered with the VA and vet centers from across this nation, taking our veteran and first responder community partners on some of the most amazing outdoor adventures you can experience, from snowmobiling in Yellowstone, hiking in Yosemite, running the Tunnel to Towers race in New York. These are all things that we're still doing and doing on a bigger scale than we've ever done before. We also, 3 years ago, brought on Warrior Path, our mental wellness program, where we have now helped thousands of veterans and first responders and military personnel appreciate the idea of post-traumatic growth. That from your trauma, from post-traumatic stress, comes the idea of post-traumatic growth, that you can grow stronger and live a better, healthier life because of your trauma, not in spite of it. That you have the opportunity to truly live your best life. And that from your struggle comes strength. These are things that we as an organization, we're doing more of than we've ever done. When we were asked to partner and build out the Warrior Path program with Boulder Crest Foundation and the Avalon Action Alliance, we initially were going to do 12 courses a year. We've now been asked to do 24 courses a year, double our mission efforts because we have been so successful with what we've been able to do with the Warrior Path language, specifically post-traumatic growth. Our disaster response mission is still there. We still want our men and women to get up off that couch and engage with helping us with disaster efforts whenever the time comes up. And guess what? When we ran disaster missions, the vast majority of the men and women that responded did not come from our teams and chapters. They came from our national membership. They were men and women that were just proud members of this organization and were not associated with a team and chapter. They did not have to wait for a team or chapter to stand up and or encourage them to go on a disaster mission. So I share that as a way to stress that part of that, you know, reason for doing away with the teams and chapters is just stressing that you as a member can be that army of one. Again, I'm tickled a little bit, Jeff, when I mention it, but it's the reality of today. And noting that you as an individual can make a difference. It's not just about a group all the time. That you can go out and volunteer and be a representative of this organization in a way that makes us all proud and ultimately makes this organization better because you as individuals are willing to get up and make a difference. And that's where our true strength is. The strength of who and what we are as sheepdogs begins with you as an individual having the willingness and desire to help others. Helping others is a way of life, right? That's our motto. And for you as sheepdogs, that's what defines you as the type of person that you are. And every day I'm amazed at the amount of time and effort so many of you put into making yourself better and others better. But for those of you that aren't doing it, This is about challenging you to do just that. Be that army of one. Be a sheepdog that we can all take pride in. And let us continue making this organization special and showing others that what the sheepdog mindset is all about. Jeff, anything I can clarify for everyone out there that maybe I missed? Bridget, again, Bridget's out here. We don't have her on the mic, but she's here critiquing me, y'all, if y'all didn't know it. And she's done a great job on it, because I do. It's important today that, you know, we do our best to help. And, you know, and the unfortunate side is I wish I could tell you right now, right, that we have a plan. You know, we do have a plan, but it's not ready for us to roll out and share with you. But that's coming. That's coming soon. Bridget, anything? Feel like I did the best I can at this point? Do what? Yeah, we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. I mean, unfortunately, I know some of you are going to be frustrated with us in this decision, and I get it. It's unfortunate. I wish, again, 14 years ago, at this point, I wanted us to have teams and chapters in every state and be just, you know, really doing some amazing things at that level. But for whatever reason, that's not where our strength has been. And I do hate that it hasn't been, but you as individuals have done far beyond what I ever thought was possible. And that's where we need to focus more of our efforts. Jeff, anything else?
Yeah, this is a paradigm shift. It takes some getting used to, but to be able to give license or clear those members out there that want to do something good, but we're waiting for a leader to come up in their area.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for a leader that was in their area to engage. We're saying now you're cleared how to engage.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to wait on anybody. Now, don't get out there and get reckless.
Right.
Still communicate with us when you're doing things. Just, but yeah, we're getting there with you. We're going to have a better understanding of how you can do these things. But at the same time, go coach Little League sports. Go volunteer in your church. Go volunteer at the VA. I mean, it doesn't have to be under any sort of sheepdog guidance.
Go do good
stuff. Oh, God, I hate saying be an army of one, but be an army of one. Be what you know you can be when it comes to making a difference. All right. So, all right. I appreciate everyone out there for listening to me try and rant and share what it is that we're trying to accomplish. It's painful restructuring and making that paradigm shift, as Jeff said, but truly is important in order for us to grow into the organization that I know we will be. And the future is bright for us. My Lord, everyone know that. I mean, in Heroes Ranch, we didn't talk about that, but we as an organization have grown by leaps and bounds. We're better, stronger, healthier, and have our mission mapped out more today than we ever have in the history of this organization. And all of you out there should take pride in that, because all of you have been a part of it. All right. So thank you again. This is the end of Sheepdog Nation podcast number 7. Well, we're excited about rolling up our sleeves and getting ready for our next guest here in a few weeks for podcast number 8. And thank you for being with us today. God bless. And don't forget, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Simplify. I'm out.